I will call to order the Wednesday, August 28th, 2019 meeting of the Prudential Committee of the Gatewood Fire District. Can I get a roll call, please?
Ray Perrone, Treasurer.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Silvio Janelle, Prudential.
Charlie Eager, Clerk.
And Amy Cates is recording. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? The first item on today's agenda is discussion on meeting rules or discussion on procedures for conducting meetings. The main reason I'm bringing this up is obviously my first meeting as chair, and I, with the intent of running the meetings efficiently, I'd like to set some procedures to follow during the meetings. So I'd like to put it up for discussion and approval of the committee as a whole. The first thing is I would like for us to be able to stick to the agenda and have all comments addressed to the chair. Second, per MGL section 30A, section 20, paragraph G, no person shall address a meeting of this committee without permission of the chair. Disruptions would not be allowed, and members of the public shall be silent at the request of the chair. Three, there will be a period of public comment at every meeting to allow the public to provide input, which will be taken into consideration by the committee when making its decisions. Four, the chair may choose to respond with brief or factual information to questions that come up during public comments, but committee members will not be required to respond to questions that come up during that public comment period. Five, each individual will get a maximum of 2 minutes, which they cannot yield to other individuals. Six, when addressing their comments to the chair, individuals will state their name and address into the microphone in order to ensure proper information for the record. Do I have any comments on that?
Nope, sounds fine.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we approve those procedures as outlined.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, moving on to the next part of the agenda is public comment. Does anybody from the public have a comment?
Stan Goldstein, 12 Tree Lane. I just want to let you know that the scheduling of the replacement of the floor has made our scheduling difficult for us as far as the dances we do on Thursday night. We get instructors from as far away as Florida or L.A., sometimes in Boston or Providence here, and it's really hard to make that schedule happen. We're also trying to start a, a newcomers, introduction course. And it's hard to schedule when we're not sure when the floor will be available to us. So I'd like to get some kind of a, more of a firm schedule when that topic comes up this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Seeing none, I'm closing public comment. Next on our agenda is the Space Needs Assessment Project Update. We got a project update from our architect. You could please step into the mic and identify yourself.
I'm Catherine Giardi from Brown Linquist, Panuccio and Raber Architects.
Thank you.
Okay, so since we were here last, we have put together a true cost estimate with our cost estimator. We have put together a proposal for our services from here through construction, and we've put together two possible schedules for the continuation of this project. I do have some handouts here if you'd like me to pass these out.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is a copy of the preliminary project budget that we've
Let her finish first, and then we'll get back to that. All right? Continue, please.
So this is a copy of the preliminary project budget for the entire, including hard costs and soft costs. But in the package, you'll also see that there is the just the construction cost estimate. So I just wanted to go over a couple of things. It's too lengthy to put on a board, but I just wanted to highlight a couple items. The cost estimate is coming in at $868,672. That's just the raw construction cost. That actually added in a couple of things. The way we ended up doing it is a little bit different. So we added in the general conditions and the overhead and profit to get to that number that's up there on the top. So that's $975,953. What is also added on top of that is the payment and performance bond, the 10% construction contingency, and the 4% escalation for construction next year. This also includes prevailing wages in those numbers. So it's higher than what we had anticipated the number to be from the last presentation that you did in the spring. We had done those numbers very roughly based off of square footage costs from the fire station expansion project. Those were around $350 a square foot, and this is now coming in higher, around the $600 a square foot. So there's a couple things that we would say that are the reason for that. One is that construction costs continue to rise every month. It's really unbelievable right now. What's the price of things is just soaring. And two is the economy of scale. The fire expansion project was a larger project. And this is a much smaller, much, much smaller 1,500 square feet building, but it still has all of the same items that you would need on any size project. So that economy of scale was just lost on a project of this size. We still have to do all of the site work. We still have to provide all the utilities and the building itself. Everything is just, it's the same kind of framework on a much, much smaller scale. But we did take a look at some of the items that we just wanted to highlight. And so we went through the cost estimate and took out a couple things. So just so you guys know, I added in all of the payment bond, the construction contingency, and the escalation into these numbers that I'm going to quote you now. So the demolition, so some of these things are a little bit unique to your project. The demolition of the existing building and the site demolition comes out at around $20,000. The new septic system, which we would need to do further investigation to see if we actually do need to do a new septic or if that could be reused, that's coming in at around $78,000. There is a water line that runs through the property that goes to the adjacent property that would need to be relocated. That's $13,000. Because of their proximity to the ocean, you have to have impact-rated doors and windows. That is a code requirement, and that is coming in around $23,500. And then since we are only at schematic design, we don't have any of the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, any of those systems designed at this point. So our estimator uses what he knows, what he assumes will be the similar system and the square footage of the building, and so he just uses an allowance. And so our HVAC allowance right now is at $73,000. So we do think that that may be able to come down once we've decided on a system. But, you know, you have to include as much as you think may be there. And then just so you know, when you kind of break it up, the site work alone is coming in at about $418,000. So site work is a big portion of this project. So we also did, as asked, we also included the alternate. So that would be for a full basement underneath the building and the driveway that would go all the way down to that area. So that's the second column. So that's the $235,978 before you add in contingency and escalation and things like that. So if the entire project went forward with all of those additional contingency and escalation, we are at almost $1.4 million. So then the next exercise is to add in all of the soft costs. So we went through and made some assumptions and added some allowances in there just to give you a rough idea of what the soft costs would come out to be. So we put in a furniture allowance in there. We have our fees in there. That's the second line item there. Those are hard costs. Our architectural fees, the consulting engineers' fees, we did get proposals from all of those, and that was included in the packet that was distributed as well. And then we put in allowances for things like legal services fee, utility company back charges, which there's really no way to know until you actually talk to those companies and have a design. Soil borings, material testing, if there's going to be a generator, we did speak about wanting a generator, things like that. So that's all included in there. And that brings us to $1.77 million with the alternate included in there. One of the other things that we did notice that I just wanted to point out to you is that if we do the alternate, and you do use that garage space underground underneath there for a vehicle storage and not just, you know, files and things like that, we would need to have an oil separator in there, and that is not included in here. We noticed that afterwards. So that would be roughly $15,000 on top of that. So do you want to discuss this and then move on to schedule, or would you like me to keep going?
I guess I do have a question.
Sure.
When you were talking about soft costs, that also includes bidding, OPM services, or construction inspections?
So we did not include OPM services. You have to hit the $1.5 million to get to the OPM, so we currently did not include that. We did have a line item for that, though, on the bottom. It's not included. It does include the bid documents, though, the advertising of the bid documents. We put an allowance in for that. Some people like to do hard copies. Some people do Project Dog or something like that. So we don't know how you'd proceed with that, but there is a number in there for it.
Okay. Because basically in your proposal, you had anticipated deliveries for task two, but I didn't see any deliveries for the rest of the tasks. So I was just kind of wondering, with the soft costs, if they would include stuff like that, because obviously a project of this size is getting close to the cost necessary for an OPM.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, when in doubt, might as well.
So it's kind of hard to estimate. You know, we've seen it up at $100,000 for an OPM, but I don't want to speak to what it would be on this project, because it would depend on the length of the construction and things like that.
Right. Any other questions?
Yeah, go ahead. Is an OPM the same as a clerk of the works?
No. An OPM is a statutory requirement for projects costing over $1.5 million.
Okay.
Building construction.
So what would be the estimated cost for a clerk of the works for this project?
That I don't know. I could get that information for you, though.
I do have a couple of questions. We can change this. We don't necessarily need a driveway into the back under the building for vehicle storage. And also one of the other things that was listed was lawn, irrigation and lawn. I don't think we need irrigation and lawn either. What's a zip wall?
A zip wall is a type of sheathing. So it has the air barrier and the vapor barrier included in its system. If you see construction around, you'll see the green walls that go up on a lot of buildings these days. That's the zip wall. It comes in. There's a couple different kinds. And it can also have insulation integral to it. So that sometimes is a cost saver, depending on how people's building walls are going to be built.
So I have two other questions. The price for a coat hook was $24.
Yes.
The price for a janitor's shelf with a mop holder was $200. Do we actually have to, I mean, are those items regulated by the state? What kind of hook or janitor shelf you have to install?
No. And we can go through, Rick and I spoke, he apologizes he couldn't be here tonight, but Rick and I spoke, we can go through this estimate thoroughly with you and look at items that could be decreased or taken out or, things, we included pre-finished cementitious siding. Yes, that's something that will last for a very, very long time. Yeah. But I know the fire station has vinyl, there are cedar, you can do cedar. There's all kinds of options.
I haven't got a problem with using that or AZAC, I think.
Yeah,
the only
so we could definitely at another time go through the estimate and try to whittle things down, but I don't think we'll be able to find a big, big number, but we can take small things down,
okay.
Definitely.
Thanks.
So basically what we're doing here today is you brought a proposal to us for schematic design, for assisting with the permitting, development of a design, and then providing construction documents that could be used for the bidding process, and also assisting us with contractor selection, bidding, and awarding. But then again, there's a phase 6 in your proposal that says construction administration. Can you speak more to that? What would that entail?
Oh, sure. What would our role be during construction administration? So, we would attend the meetings. Sometimes I think in our proposal we have every other meeting is what we usually attend. We would be responding to contractors' RFIs, so requests for information. Any mm-hmm. questions that the contractors have would go to us and through us. We would review submittals, so any product that's going to be installed on the site, we would check it, make sure it still matches the spec that we wanted, that you wanted, and go through that. So every item would be reviewed by us. We also review the payments for application. So every month the contractor will come to you saying this is what we'd like to charge you, and we would go through line by line on the schedule of values and make sure that all of that work is actually been completed to the percentage that they're billing it. We do inspections. We submit, this is controlled construction, so we would submit to the town every month to let them know what's been going on. We take photographs. We document the site conditions every time we're on the site, and our consultants do as needed as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Any further questions?
No.
All right. I guess it's our decision now whether we want to move forward with awarding them the contract.
I do have the schedule also if you'd like me to review.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue with the schedule. I apologize.
So we put together two project schedules. Both of them start in October after you have your meeting, which we assumed would be the starting point of releasing us. And one is the standard schedule that we would say everything goes in a chronological order and there's enough time to do each phase. But that we found out that brings us not to your meeting in the spring. So that brings us to a special meeting that would have to occur in the fall. So we did two. We did the standard schedule, and then we did a fast track that would let us get to your Springtown meeting with a bid. So I can just go over them briefly and what those would entail. So this is the standard schedule. So being released sometime in October to start the next phase, we would immediately do geotechnical surveying of the site and start looking into the septic. That's one of the big unknown questions right now is can we reuse the septic as is? So that would be, each one of these blocks is a month. So that would be a month and a half and 2 months here. And then we would also be doing our schematic design drawings. They're mostly at schematic design at this point. We would just be refining them with any new information that comes up. It's been a while since we've looked at them together. And then we would go into informal meetings with town departments. So we like to sit as early as possible with all the town departments and go over and to see what their issues may be with the plan the way it is. We like to get ahead of things and not go too far down the road without having their input. After that, we would do the site plan review process and Board of Health process. And then lastly would be the ZBA, going to the zoning board. So you can see that all of those are going sequentially in order. And after all of that is done, then we would start our 50% construction documents. Then we would stop, we would pause, and we would have a construction cost estimate done, similar to what you are looking at today. And that would be updated. Contingencies would come down a little. Now they'll have a lot more information. They'll have a 50% set. There'll be mechanical, electrical, plumbing. There'll be all those trades will be included now. So a lot of those assumptions have become more defined. After that comes back and everybody's comfortable with where we are, we then proceed with 100% construction documents. We have allotted about a month and a half for that process. So then we are now in July for the end of the construction document period. And then we would do the standard public bidding process where the bid documents are available to anyone to take out. Then we would have a contractor walk through. We would lead that. And then if there are filed sub-bids, then their filed sub-bids would be due ahead of the general contractor bids due. So those would come in at the end of August, allowing you to have a special meeting sometime in September, depending on when you have to have those numbers in. I think it's a month in advance. So in the early fall, you would be able to have a meeting to review those construction numbers. Then we would, if that all goes forward, we would finalize the owner-contractor agreement with you, help you with that, and then the building permit usually takes 30, 60 days, hopefully 30. And then commence construction in January of 2021. And we are assuming that this is an 8 to 10 month construction period. So this would be the standard way we would do this. If you would like to go at a faster pace, we can do that as well. We would need, we need the owner to be on board with going at a faster pace as well. Decisions have to be made quickly. And efficiently, and we would do our drawings in a quicker and more efficient manner as well. So this one, you would see that we, again, in November, we start with our geotechnical surveying and our septic system, but at that same time, we would be refining the drawing. So these are already overlapped. That's what you'll see, is that as we go, everything is really much more overlapped. So before we're done with the septic, we would then start meeting with our informal town meetings. And then site plan review would happen shortly after that. But you'll see at the same time here, we're doing our 50% completion of construction documents. So we are going forward with our construction documents before we actually have all the approvals from the town. And then at the same, we would not pause and have time when the construction estimate was being calculated. We would actually keep going with our 100% documents. Projects happen like this all the time. It's a different strategy, and it is a quicker means to an end. And so then we would be able to, in March, have our bid documents ready, and we would have that same public process for the bidding. And your meeting, which I believe is usually in May, would be when we would be able to present those numbers. And then in this case, construction would start in August, again, in 8 to 10 month period.
Any questions?
So for all the work that you would be doing between August 19th down to, say, the construction of the bid documents, we would be obviously charged for that.
You're talking about the time period between now and when we get to the bid document.
Yes,
that's
right.
A phase in our contract.
Yeah, okay. So, we would obviously have to go to a meeting in order to authorize that sum of money to start that process. And my other concern with the rapid process, which is over there, is the Zoning Board of Appeals, you shouldn't gamble on what they're going to be saying.
You never know.
So I would have a concern in doing the rapid process and starting doing a great many things before we had to know what the feelings were and the decision of the Zoning Board of Appeals.
I have two questions, one's for you and one's for Ray, actually. To you, Catherine, is there a cost difference between the fast track approach or the regular approach, or would it's all included in the same proposal?
It's all the same tasks. You know, when you do the fast track, there is always the chance that we'll have gone ahead and done something that we then have to do over, and redesign and things like that are not included in our fees. So that's why we try not to go too far ahead of regulatory or the owner's decisions and things like that.
Okay. And for Ray, the question is kind of along the same lines of what Fran was saying. Do we even have an appropriation for design for this project?
No, all you have is a feasibility
study
at this point. So you'd have to go to an annual district meeting, in my opinion, to get approval to proceed.
Or a special district meeting.
District meeting.
Yeah, so you'll see in our schedule we had that in October, and then we wouldn't do anything until November until you.
But the funding gets a little bit difficult because you're going to have interim funding, and then you come up to this point where you finally are about to start construction, and you have another special district meeting that may well say no thanks.
Correct.
To me, you either my background you're in or you're not, and that's the way it ought to be put to the taxpayer. We're committed to this or we're not.
Correct. So I guess that's the conversation that I was going to ask. I mean, you've been involved with the space needs assessment. I think you and Lisa were the team. Do you feel like this would be something that we should push for when we come to the district meeting and explain the benefits to the residents of doing that? I mean, I just want to get what's the general feeling towards this project?
I think probably the wisest thing to do would be have a special district meeting to just address this and, have the architects come and explain and answer people's questions. And I think, at that point we're going to know whether it's yay or nay to go with the project. And it's also going to depend upon the funding for the project.
Just a rough guess is this will probably add somewhere between $80,000 and $90,000 to the tax each year for 40 years.
Okay, thank you. I guess then the conversation becomes, do we sit, do we think about scheduling a meeting in the near future? So that we can let Catherine know, excuse me, what our goal is going to be, whether we're going to proceed with this or not. And I agree with you; should be definitely put to the taxpayers, see what they feel, and because this is their district.
Right.
This is something that's going to affect their taxes, and this is something that it's going to affect their services too. So in the same way that you've been explaining this to us, I think then now it's time to put it to the public, see what they say, and move forward in that direction. So.
And get a firm
response.
Off the top of my head figure.
Correct.
I'd rather have a more definitive answer for the taxpayers.
Gotcha. All right, so any questions from the public? Please go to the mic.
Carol Zace, 86 Putnam Avenue. Before you, my suggestion would be before you establish a special district meeting, which does cost a lot of money, you do a bunch of informal community sessions because this is a lot of information for people to digest in one meeting and then have to vote. So I would encourage you to have multiple information sessions.
Anyone else?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. Would it be possible for the clerk to take the handouts provided and have them put to the website or email to the participants that are interested in viewing them?
Anyone else?
Dan?
Yep.
This is a magic wish list, but it appears as if the economy may be going downhill, which means interest rates will go down. They've already begun to go down, and construction costs will go down.
Yep.
Do you have any magic ball that you can give us an estimate on that?
Do you mind answering that, Catherine?
I unfortunately don't have a magic ball, and I don't know what will happen next, but we often do see projects that wait a year or two, the numbers just rise, no matter what is happening out there. So it seems that the longer you wait, the more expensive things tend to get, just in general, but again, no magic ball. Getting at the right time.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you. We'll get back to you. All right, next on our agenda is some repair items to Freedom Hall. An update. Frank's going to give us an update on a couple of things that need to be done around here in this building.
So the first is we need to clean the gutters. The gutter on the south side of the building at the parking lot needs repair replacement. It's overspilling. I tried to get three bids for it, and I got one from Gutter Monkeys. I called Cape Cod Gutters and Gutter Professionals of Cape Cod, and I didn't get a response from Cape Cod Gutters or Gutter Professionals of Cape Cod. I did get a response from Gutter Monkeys, and their charge would be $625 for cleaning the gutters and repairing two of the downspouts, one at the front corner parking lot of the building, and this one over here. So you want me to go on? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The piano. The piano is in very bad shape, and no one, as far as I know, uses it. And I think this would be the perfect time to get it out of the hall. I got three bids for that. I contacted 1-800-GOT-JUNK, AJ Junk Runs, and 100-855 Recycle Junk. They're in Hyannis. So Recycle Junk got back to me, but didn't get back to me with a price. AJ Junk does not have the proper insurance, so the one would be 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Their charge is $508 plus. That's how far down the stairs they have to go. Next, the handicap signposts out front are falling apart. The caps are coming off, they're splitting, and they both have bird nests in them. And we were recently inspected by the state election committee, and we passed that inspection, and I assured her that those signs would be proper when time for the election. So my recommendation is to replace the signpost with AZEK, which would be about $250. The next is the unreadable no overnight parking sign that's on the side of the building. Mm-hmm. 2-3 weeks ago, there was a car parked in the parking lot for a week. Because they had left their car there and more than likely gone down and gotten onto a boat at the dock, and this is a frequent occurrence. So I went to Lejeune and to get a price for the signs, and I also spoke with the people at the lodge to see if they'd allow us to put a sign on their building, and they agreed that they would. So that would be $116. I was here one evening for, I don't remember what, and noticed that the lights in the back of the building, the ones that are over the stairwells, mm-hmm. that are supposed to be on outside stairwells, they're supposed to be on all night. One of them was out, and motion sensor for back there was not working. So that's being, I called the electrician and that's being worked on. I bought some touch-up paint for the new door handles that have been installed, and a toilet paper holder for the men's bathroom, which apparently never had a toilet paper holder for who knows why, but it has no one now.
Thank you. From all of us.
Good. We're having a lot of problems with the front door. Not this week, but last week I was here every day dealing with that door. The lock is sticking. And if it's greased enough, it works for a few days and then it sticks. In the past, the people who installed this, which was Door Concepts, would come down and repair it, but they're no longer repairing the hardware. They're only repairing the electrical component of the handicap door. So we found a locksmith in Centerville who came over and looked at it. I wasn't too comfortable with what he had to say, and you know, basically said if it wasn't working, we need to replace the entire mechanism on one door, which is $1,200. Mm. What happens is when you open the door, there's a piece of here that has to go down. So you turn the key or push the bar, and the regular lock goes down, and then when you push the door out, this covers it.
Mm-hmm.
This piece is sticking. So I'd like to get some more people to look at that and see what we can do to get that fixed. I sent you a picture. The replacement fence that Mr. Ceratoni put in back,
mm-hmm.
I hadn't noticed when I wasn't here when they did it, and I never really paid too much attention until I wanted to walk around the side of the building. And as you can see, that's the window well.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the fence stops. So I've spoken to the owner, and he said he's going to
relocate it or
shorten it.
Yeah.
And as Stan mentioned, the Historical Society would like to know if they could have some of the old floorboards for use as a fundraiser and have people to paint. And we need to set up a, once we know when we're going to, they're going to start the floor, we need to have a work crew to come to put all the chairs up on the stage.
Correct.
So I need a decision about the piano.
So does the piano need to be declared a surplus before we get rid of it?
Yeah. Oh. And I'd also like to declare those two ice cream tables surplus. People drag them on the floors, which I don't think we want a new $40,000 floor.
Absolutely.
And I think Chris in the past has, there's a website that the state uses where you can dispose of things. She sold cars and a boat. And she can put those two tables on there, and we could probably hopefully make some money from those two.
Sounds good. All right, so let's go item by item. So the gutters need cleaning. You said you're getting quotes. That's
yes.
Good. Gutter Monkeys gave you a quote of $625. Do we have funding in our budget for that?
Yes.
Okay. The piano, we just talked about that. So can we declare it surplus right now in the two tables and just be done with that? So I'll make a motion to declare the piano a surplus and the two ice cream tables.
Ice cream tables. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the handicap signpost, same thing. Do we have funding for that?
Yes.
All right. Overnight parking signs. So you got a quote from, what was the name of the company?
Lejeune.
Lejeune.
They're on 28. They do our printing.
I will try to see if I can actually get that sign for free. There may be some signs that I could get, so I'll get back to you on that
Okay. Before
we move forward. Hopefully we can save some money on that or get it donated. That's what I'm trying to say. The lights are being replaced. Thank you very much.
Yep.
In the men's bathroom toilet paper holder. Thank you very much.
The same thing with the locksmith. So you're trying to get other locksmiths to look at it,
yeah.
See if we can get a better price. Do we have funding for that too? Or?
We have to have funding for it. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
The front door.
Yeah, I understand, but I don't know if we have funding for it or not. So, and then the replacement fence, you're going to talk to the neighbor.
Yeah, I've already spoken with him.
When it comes to the Historical Society and the floorboards, I think that's an excellent idea. But again, it's public. Would we have to declare that a surplus first, see if anybody goes for it? I mean,
you don't have to wait for anybody to go for it. And you probably don't have to declare surplus, but I would, just to be on the safe side.
Okay. So do we want to do that or entertain another way of doing this so that way we can make sure we can hold on to it and maybe
What does the contract say with the people who are going to replace it?
They're supposed to haul it away.
So contracts declared it surplus.
You've already done it when you accepted that contract. You've declared it surplus.
Okay. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I just know that when it's things like that, we can't just decide that we're gonna just give it away or if it's part of the contract, then I would say that we would have to ask them if they don't want to take it away anymore. So I could reach out to them and say, we would like to keep it instead of...
Well, we don't want to keep all of it. We just want to keep some of
it. Parts of it, okay.
And quite honestly, it's going to be in a dumpster in the parking lot. So it can easily disappear from the dumpster in the parking lot.
Understood. So what I will do is I'll ask the company at the same time as I'm asking them for a start date for the project, they can hold on to a little bit of it so that we can have it. That's absolutely something we can do. All right, and then as soon as I find out too when the start date's going to be, we'll talk about getting a crew to move the chairs. All right, anybody else have any comment? No?
No.
All right. Next item on the agenda is discussion on open meeting law complaint response procedure. In the short time that I've been in this committee, year and a half now, I think we've gotten what I would consider to be a fair amount of open meeting law complaints. And our committee, I believe, has tried to be better about how we run the meetings. We've actually attended also it was some sort of...
Inspector General training.
Yeah, training by the Inspector General's office about running meetings correctly. And within it, they talked about open meeting law, how to deal with things of that nature. And one of the things that came up during that was that the public body has the option of basically delegating the response of open meeting law complaints to the district's attorney. So based on that and the amount of complaints that we've been getting and the fact that I'm not a lawyer, I don't believe you're a lawyer either,
no.
I would like to move forward with this procedure. And so I'd like to make a motion.
I know the fire the fire department is working on this also.
Mm-hmm.
And I would prefer that we go with Edgar Julo's firm to do this rather than our district attorney.
Okay.
I think, I've found them to be more efficient at doing it.
So this is the fire department's, the council they've been using?
The council they've been using,
that's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
So we've met in an executive session and discussed this, so I think I'd like to make a motion now in public and open meeting to accept a procedure where we get an open meeting law complaint to delegate it to council.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. Next in the agenda. Oops. Sorry.
Bylaw committee update.
Correct. So the bylaw committee update. I think I've reached out to most of the other committees, the Water Board of Commissioners and the Fire Commissioners, to find out who their appointees have been. And for the Bylaw Committee, I don't remember. I don't think I got from the Water Commissioners who their appointee is going to be. So
it's going to be
anybody know?
From the Water Department, it's going to be Scott Harshberger, and from the Fire Commissioners, it's going to be Adam Zeiss.
Correct. Do we have any at-large members?
Yes,
that were
Penny LeVert and Mimi McConnell.
Okay, and obviously you're.
Yes.
Yeah. So do we have any updates on when you're planning a meeting? Or
after Labor Day.
Okay. Sounds good.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
We passed a bylaw change at the annual district meeting that directed the treasurer to create a stabilization fund equal to the census of meters and the fee for meters. Unfortunately, when we came to the budget, we failed to include authorization to expend those funds. So I have a bylaw that directs me to do something that I have no authorization to spend on. And my recommendation is that we acknowledge that and we include that in the budget for next year, the authorization to spend according to that bylaw. There will be no loss to the Water Department. It's a stabilization fund that they would need an annual district meeting authority to spend under in any case. So by authorizing the funding at the next annual district meeting, there's no gain, no loss, and it'll put us back on the appropriate budgetary discipline for that bylaw.
Can we talk about that during other business, or is that something that's related to the bylaw committee in any way, shape, or
form? No, I'm just by way of information to the committee.
Let us continue with the agenda, and then when we get to other business, we can talk about it.
Or the treasurer's report.
Or in the treasurer's report.
Or the treasurer's report.
All right, so, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make a comment that I think that's a much, much better plan than trying to have a meeting to fund it out of free cash. I think if we do it after a year, then they will have collected the money.
Yes.
That's going to go in the stabilization fund.
Yes.
So I think that's much more appropriate.
I think it accomplishes the objective.
Right. Yeah.
So next on the agenda is Policy Advisory Committee. I'm the Prudential Committee representative. Fire Commissioners chose Adam Zeiss as well, and the Water Commissioners chose Tom Hoppenstad. Do we know who the at-large members of that Policy Advisory Committee are?
One is Jackie Mastro.
Okay.
I believe the other is Amy Cates. Cindy Gardner is the other.
I know that the moderator appoints them at the district meeting. I've tried to reach out to him. I haven't gotten a response. So now that I have that information, Cindy, since you're already here, if I can get your contact information, we can start scheduling the meetings. And if I can get the information for Jackie, maybe the moderator?
I have it.
You have it? Okay. Thank you. We'll do that. Okay. Let's see. So next up is the treasurer's report.
I think really four items now that we're going to talk about the bylaws. F20, we handed out the expenditure sheet. There's really nothing to note or report on that. It's far too early to note any trends on that. With regard to F19, the closing and audit, the auditors were in for what is termed interim work that was completed. Closing internal reconciliations are about 90% complete at this stage. The taxes are awaiting the collector from the town to provide detailed records so that we can reconcile our records to hers. And, of course, then the reporting part of that closing has not started until we can get the tax tied down. I've been in communication with them. We're trying to use what are called summary munis records to identify potential areas of problems, but until you get the detail, it's just you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Another point was we have engaged Unibank to give a presentation to the staff regarding online payments for the district, primarily water department, but also for the fire department and Freedom Hall. It was brought to my attention that by inviting the commissioners, I could create a public meeting. So I need to know if two of you folks are coming. I'll have to relocate that meeting to Freedom Hall, and we'll have to go through public notice.
I could volunteer to do the webinar and not attend the meeting, if that makes things easier.
The webinar is different. There are two.
There's, yeah, there's the webinar and the unit. If you don't come to the second, you'll get the sense out of the webinar of what's involved. So when we finally get down to implementation in that discussion, you'll have a background
So the meeting with them is going to be more related to...
It's just going to be another presentation, what Unibank does, how they organize them, what services they will provide. I'm not even sure if we'll get into cost at that point. If we do get into cost, it would be very generic cost. It would not be a direct quote.
Would you be interested in attending?
Yeah, I'm planning on attending that.
All right, so I'll do the webinar.
We can all do the webinar.
Understood, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you do webinar...
I can do the webinar, you can attend the meeting, and then in the next meeting, we need to go into any detail about what they discussed. We can do that then.
Okay, and I'll tell Lisa the same thing, or did one of you want to...
I'll tell her.
Okay,
tell her.
All right, great. That solves that problem. And now you want to discuss... The Water Department Stabilization Fund?
Yes, please.
We have a bylaw. We don't have any authorization for me to expend money, so therefore I can't. My recommendation to, it's not really to resolve it, but to set the stage going forward would be to include it in next year's budget. And if we wanted to do 2 years at that point, that would be fine with me. Remember, we wanted to establish creating this as a one event rather than wait for the money to dribble in, because that would add a lot of administrative cost and possible potential for errors to segregate that money. Rather, I think it's cleaner to say, this is what the stabilization fund is. It's based on that census at that rate per meter. We set that money aside. We do that at the annual district meeting. We'll have the authority to do it. The water department will have their money. And if the circumstance would be that the water department had a need to use that stabilization fund,
they still have to go to a district meeting, correct?
They have to wait for an annual district meeting.
So basically the issue is that we approved this stabilization fund, correct?
Correct.
Just not the means of recouping the money, or am I? Because no, I'm not understanding. That's what I'm not understanding.
It said that the treasurer will set aside an amount of money in a stabilization fund dedicated to the water department. in an amount equal to the number of meters at the meter rate of $20.
Okay, but
it didn't say raise and appropriate.
Gotcha.
That was the problem.
So I can't transfer the money.
So I have another question. Will you be able to have a sense of how many people have actually paid that?
By the end of the year, Water Department will. I'll have to rely on them to give me that information.
That figure, because not just necessarily a generic figure for...
Right. I've told Jen to segregate it in her billing. I'll have to make sure that the segregation on their accounts follows that.
So I guess I have another question. So the issue sounds to me, even if we have the word appropriate there, it would be an issue of timing, because you can only raise and appropriate that funding as it comes in?
No. That's what we try to avoid.
Okay.
The way the bylaw was written intentionally was to direct me to create that at the beginning of the year based on the December census.
Mm-hmm.
What we didn't do in that motion is say, raise an appropriate free cash.
From where, correct.
From where am I going to get the money? So if it's not defined, I don't have the authority to spend that money.
So what is your suggestion?
My suggestion is that
next year we do it so we can't...
We do it next year, but just everybody will be aware, and I'll communicate with the Water Department.
That we couldn't do it because of the language.
We couldn't fund it until next year, but they can't use the money until next year anyway.
Okay. Well, no harm, no foul, sounds like it.
Yeah, no, it's a much better solution than coming out of free cash. It should, because free cash isn't what should be funding that. It should be the rate payers.
Correct. I mean, I would say that a stabilization fund like that should be funded by fees.
By raise.
Correct.
Well, it's raise and appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That was it. Unless there's any questions.
Do you have any questions for him?
About that? No.
Yeah, or anything from the treasurer's report?
No.
Okay. Next on the agenda is review and approval of minutes. We have a vast amount of minutes, so do we want to do them one by one?
No, I think we can do them as a group. I'll go through them if you want.
So I'll make a motion to approve the Sorry, do we need to read them? Or?
Well, no, I just wanted to say that, you know, we need to separate out the executive session on the 22nd of July, because that's not ready to be released.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to approve
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
When you read the minutes, particularly in my section, there's a lot of questions, but I thought I responded to those questions during the meeting, and there's no indication of what my response was.
Okay.
Which meeting was this in particular?
Well, the minutes, as I read them, Treasury report. You asked about the full year budget and salaries and the Lovell's Pond project and if the fiscal year had been closed.
What meeting is this?
This is the July 22nd meeting.
July 22nd.
And I thought I responded to those at that meeting, and there's no indication of what the response was. And then, excuse me for using first names, Lisa asked about other revenue in the fire department, and I believe I responded to that as well. And I think I responded to Fran's question about the tax. I'll have to go back and find out what my exact response was, but when I read it, and I fortunately just read it today, it seems like they're incomplete.
Okay. We can set that one aside, take a look at it, and review it later.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, having said that, I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes from our April 29, 2019 meeting, our June 24, 2019 meeting, our July 12, 2019 meeting, our July 15, 2019 meeting. Do I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we'll review the July 22nd, 2019, bring them over to the next meeting.
And I'll give you the input that I believe would complete that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We need a motion to approve the executive session from July.
So separately, I was going to make a motion to approve the executive session meeting of July 22nd, 2019. Do I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right. The next topic of our agenda is other business and topics not anticipated by the chair. Do we have any?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So, first, the auditor suggested, and I agree, that we should do quarterly budget reviews with the fire commissioners and the water commissioners. Mm-hmm. Our bylaws state that we should review their budgets and how the progress that they're making in February, but I think it would be better to do it on a more consistent basis quarterly.
Okay.
We talked about when we went to the Inspector General's training about contacting that office. Mm-hmm. And seeing if they will come down and also do that training down here.
Yep.
For the district. And do you have anything else? I think that was it. And I will get you the what needs to go on the sign and the size of the signs.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For the building.
When it comes to the AG's office and setting up a meeting, I actually went
IG's.
Online.
IG's.
The IG's office.
Yeah.
I actually went online and saw that they have webinar trainings. And I think I had this written down somewhere. I believe there's one in September and one in October. If you give me 2 seconds, I will try to look that up. I don't know if I will find it, but we don't even need to have them come down.
Well, is that the IG or the AG?
I believe, I don't know which one, I don't remember off the top of my head. I believe it's the AG's office.
Because,
so give me a second.
Because I think the IG's office, when he spoke about fraud and,
correct. I
and
think
handling
the,
of funds, I think that, and being able to ask questions, I think that was very useful.
Correct. I believe the Attorney General's office does the OML training, and they have regional trainings constantly, but they have them online as well. The next one, I just found it, is Tuesday, September 17th, so from 12:30 to 2 p.m., so I can send the link to you. And all right, so we should definitely make an effort to do that webinar. I know I'll sign up for it. So that way, next meeting, we can meet that that concern that came up from the residents. I also want to take, it may sound cheesy, but I want to take the time to congratulate the Kettleers on winning the Cape Cod Baseball League championship.
Mm-hmm.
For a record 17th time. That's pretty impressive. So another thing was Kevin Conley was appointed to the bargaining agreement negotiating committee. Mm-hmm. And they need one of our group also to join them, so I would like to nominate you.
Thank you.
Would you accept?
Yes.
So I make a motion to nominate Fran to the Bargaining Agreement Negotiating Committee for the Fire Department. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's pretty much it. That's what I have. So anybody have any other comments? All right.
Nope.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.